Pulitzer Prize and multi-Grammy Award-winning composer Jennifer Higdon has written a large body of work for a range of ensembles, including orchestras, chamber groups, and choruses. Now she's working on her first opera, commissioned by Santa Fe Opera and the Opera Company of Philadelphia. It's based on Cold Mountain, Charles Frazier's best-selling novel and winner of the National Book Award. The story, which takes place in the South at the end of the Civil War, was also adapted for a Hollywood motion picture starring Jude Law and Nicole Kidman. Higdon has set aside 3 years to compose the opera, which will feature baritone Nathan Gunn in the role of a Confederate soldier who deserts to return home. Now, about 1 year into the process, Jennifer Higdon reflects on what's drawn her to opera, how it's different from writing for the concert hall, and how this story in particular lends itself to the art form. Cold Mountain is the text. Well, let's start off there, because I remember talking to you a couple of years ago, and you were talking about the fact that you were going to write an opera, that this was something you wanted to do, and that you were still searching for a text at that point. And you were looking at things that were in the public domain, you were looking at recently published works, but a lot of the time novels, the movie rights get bought, and the movie studios don't want an opera.
Yeah, I actually spent like 4.5 years looking at stories, trying to find something that would work.
And what did you go? Give me an idea what you went through and why you rejected them, or were they rejected from you?
It was actually, I must have started about 100 novels, and I would get in 30 or 40 pages and I would think this isn't going to work for an opera, and I would stop and I'd go to the next book. Anything that anyone recommended to me, I read, or
wow.
I got the movie. Sometimes people said, oh, you should check out a particular movie. So it was interesting kind of going through all the possibilities. And, the other thing is you're going to spend a lot of time with this. It's an emotional thing. You got to find a story that resonates, that you feel like you could live with.
But never having written an opera, how did you know it was going to work for opera?
It had to
have a simple plot?
You know what? When we ended up with Cold Mountain, the minute I started reading it, I thought, this is it. I can tell that this is the story we're supposed to set. And I think for me with Cold Mountain, it was recognizing the personalities of the characters because I grew up so close to there. I mean, I grew up on one side of the mountains and Cold Mountain is over the Smokies on the other side. It's probably only about 40 miles if a crow was flying across between the two places. But I recognize those individuals. Despite the fact that it's a Civil War story, there are still people in East Tennessee who are just like those individuals.
They never really got over it.
I know. It has not changed, and I was so blown away by that. But the fact that I wanted a story that actually progressed, that had drama, and I thought, well, there's love. It's a love story. You know, it's a guy who leaves at the end of the Civil War. He abandons the fighting and tries to walk back home. I thought about the terrain he covered because I've done a lot of hiking in the Smokies. But there was just something about the love story. Now, the story itself, if you read the book, is extraordinarily complex. And there are a lot of episodes. And I realized that long opera is often kind of difficult to sit through. So I knew we would have to pull out a couple of segments. The things that would advance the story and get us basically Inman getting back to Ada, the two main characters.
Okay, so tell me then conceptually what the differences are between writing a work for concert and a writing work for stage. Because they would seem to be like night and day. The only thing they have in common is that you know how to write music.
Yeah, I think that's actually probably an accurate picture. It's kind of surprising to me. I'm constantly thinking about these characters and what can I do with the music to kind of show their personalities, the emotion behind the scene. We don't think about that when we're writing a violin concerto. We just think about the instruments, balancing the instruments. But trying to honor Charles Frazier's lines as my librettist has set them, and to do it in a way that moves the music along at a pace that will be palatable for the audience, and respecting what the human voice can do, because that's a totally different thing. I'm working with so many different voice types that I've never really broken things down this way. So when you think about the fact that singers have to get through a 2 to 2.5 hour opera, and you want the music to have valleys and peaks, not because it's Cold Mountain, because it makes the music more interesting, I have to really plan out how to pace the music for a 2 hour segment. And that's a completely different thing. You know, you want to change the colors in the orchestra a lot, but the biggest challenge is working with the voices to make sure that you're not covering them. And they sing lines very differently than an instrument would if they were playing in just a purely instrumental work. I'm finding that my brain is feeling like it's rewiring as I approach composition this way. I'm really having to reconsider things and kind of ponder, but I have to admit I'm enjoying it. It feels like I'm in a new world. It feels completely different.
You knew this, though, because you have set aside 2 years?
Three years.
3 years and there's nothing else going on.
That's
and that's
right.
unusual for you because you write a lot.
Right.
So who told you it was going to be this difficult? Or well, did you just know?
I kind of knew it was going to be this difficult. I knew a couple people who had written operas. Chris Theofanidis had just finished an opera, and he was finishing at the time I was embarking on this. And I had worried about Chris because he'd taken on other projects, and I could tell that he wasn't sleeping. And I realized that taking something like this on is huge because the budgets for operas are so big, and it's very hard to write a successful opera. It may be one of the most challenging things a composer can do.
And to start with grand opera, I mean, this is not a chamber opera. This is the real thing.
This is the real thing. And so I decided I didn't want to torture myself and not allowing enough time, and I knew I needed time to study. That was the other thing, that when I ran up against roadblocks, I should be able to get out scores and look at them and listen and see if I could figure out how to solve the problem. I wanted to make sure we had time to workshop so that I could make changes. But it basically was me looking at the calendar and saying, realistically, what I think I could do is take 3 years out. And it didn't make a lot of people happy who wanted pieces. And in fact, I actually have a long waiting list already. But it's very strange talking to people about 2017 and 2018, which is where our conversations are going right now. But it's unusual to go into the studio every day. I write every single day and be working on this one piece. But what I've discovered in the process, as we move from scene to scene, it's almost like creating little bitty pieces that need to be somewhat related and can be strung together. So it's not so much one large piece like I thought it was going to be, because you're creating different worlds. You're creating, Ada's world is very different. She's at home. She doesn't know much about farming. She's lost her father. She has to learn how to survive. So it's been an interesting thing to kind of get to know these characters and to really stop and think about what would they be like if you met them. If I knew them in the mountains, if I knew them in East Tennessee, what would these people be like?
It's odd because you would have thought that having had this source material and then having a librettist come in and interpret it and give you a book to write to, but it's not like that at all. You have to make all of your own decisions about who these characters are, despite what these other two writers have done.
Right, that's true.
It's a complete discovery for you.
And you know, and the thing I think that made this story resonate was I got the sense that Charles Frazier thought the way I did, and that Gene Shear, my librettist, because I interviewed a ton of librettists, but the minute I met Gene, I knew he was the one I needed. I could tell that our working method was similar, that we could have conversations and debates about how these people would act. We tried to think of all the things we could about their backstories, even if they weren't in the novel originally. And it was interesting, I think, for Gene, because he grew up in New York. He's Jewish. He's about as far from East Tennessee and Western North Carolina as you can get. So I've been able to kind of give him reference points. But when you get down to it, they're all just people.
Right.
Too. And there's an essence there that we all share. We all come up against unbelievable obstacles. It's just that these individuals have some extraordinary obstacles. They may starve to death. They may get shot. They may get caught. I mean, there's a lot that's going on. But they're still people.
How much have you been going back into the past of classical opera? Is that relevant at all to any of this process?
Some of it is relevant because the voices balance so easily in that time period. So I look at the orchestras and the orchestration. And good opera is good opera, whether it's old or it's new. And so I'm experiencing as much opera as possible. I've been traveling a lot around the country hearing new operas, and even sometimes in other parts of the world. I went to Vienna with the folks at Pew to see John Adams' The Flowering Tree, the premiere of that, which was a fascinating learning experience. But I have been going to all kinds of opera, new and old, anywhere I am in the world to basically see what are people doing? How do they stage things? Does the music work? When it doesn't work, I ask myself, why doesn't it work? So I'm trying to examine the whys and wherefores of failure and success, basically, and everything in between.
And what have you found out?
Don't make it long.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the primary thing.
How long is long? Over 2 hours?
Yeah, I think over 2 hours. I think if you go 2 hours and 15 minutes, you're probably okay. But really beyond that, I think it's pushing it, especially with a new opera, to really pull it off. And it's probably the one piece of advice I've gotten from most people: keep it short.
Well, you've also got the issue that you know, you're getting into union overtime and things like that.
That's
as well,
right.
Which, you know,
right.
isn't all terribly artistic, but right. People may not produce it because
that's
it's
right.
going to cost too much.
That's right. And I even consider things like the size of the orchestra. You don't want the orchestra to be so large that a lot of companies are knocked out of doing it.
So how big is the orchestra?
It's just the standard, what we call double winds, three percussionists, no timpani, one harp, regular string section. It'll probably come, I'm guessing, to around 65
right.
players.
That's pretty standard.
Right, exactly. But nothing large, not a lot of percussion. One of the things I've been trying to figure out is how much bluegrass to include in the, or mountain music, as we call it in East Tennessee, to include in the opera. And I haven't quite figured that out yet. There's not been a situation that's presented itself where that felt like it was a natural part of the fabric.
Do you ever put your palms of your hands against the sides of your head and scream? Because it just sounds overwhelming.
You know what I do, actually. And I have to admit, I've been working towards the point of writing this opera for quite a few years to get my head adjusted to the idea that this was going to happen. And I have to admit, I'm completely blown away by the process. And sometimes I write something, I think, does that work? And if I look at it repeatedly over several days, it'll suddenly become obvious it's not working and I need to erase all of that and rewrite it. And I know, which is really painful because you're basically walking backwards. But the thing is, you want to get it right. And truly, your gut instinct's going to tell you. You just have to be willing to be truthful, and you have to be willing to erase or delete if you're doing it on the computer. So it takes a certain amount of bravery, but it's
scary. A massive risk.
Yeah.
It's 3 years of your life.
Yeah.
It's something that may end up, as often happens with contemporary opera, it'll get three performances.
Right.
And it'll get shoved away because the critics didn't like it. And then somebody will rediscover it in 10 years and it'll be a huge hit.
Exactly.
But all the joy will have gone out of it for you at that point. I mean, it's a massive risk in terms of your life and what you're not doing. More to the point, not so much that you're spending 3 years writing an opera, but how much music is not getting written in those 3 years.
I know, it's kind of astounding when you think about it. But I realized I've written a lot of concerti. I've probably done 8 or 9 concerti. I've done an extraordinary amount of chamber music. I mean, the most I have is chamber music. I've done a lot of choral stuff. I've done band stuff. So this seemed like a logical step. And I thought, you know, you have to keep challenging yourself. Even though it was horrifically scary to even think about it, I thought, it's good to stretch. It's got to give it a try and do the very best you can. I had the exact same feeling when I started the Concerto for Orchestra for Philly, because I had never written an orchestra piece that large in terms of duration and probably size of orchestra. So there's a similar feeling here that's a part of this. And, you know, this is going to be in Philly. We're doing this, and I believe it's been scheduled for February of 2016 with OCP. So the Opera Company of Philly has been really helpful in talking to me if I have questions, because I'm not used to thinking about staging things. I mean, how long does it take to bury someone on a stage, you know? These are things I've never thought about before.
Jennifer Higdon. Her opera based on Cold Mountain will premiere at Santa Fe Opera during the summer of 2015, and at the Opera Company of Philadelphia in February 2016.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.